I don't think you can get around me like that. He's not coming out, and that's my final word. Now, shut up!
No!
Did you hear what I said?
Yes!
Oh, I see. It's like that, is it?
Yes!
Oh, then you can see him for 1 minute, but not 1 second more. Do you understand?
Yes!
Promise?
Well.
This is Andrew.
This is Hi.
Fuck you.
And this is Welcome.
Fuck you too. And with us this week, we have a guest who's appeared on Mystical Podcast that will never be shown to anyone because hard drives crash sometimes.
Wait, Mystical was on one of these podcasts?
Yes, he was.
Rapper Mystical? Yeah. You played Mystical because I am Mystical. Do you not remember that?
Oh, you sound different than I remember, Mystical.
He's coming from the astral plane. It's Bran J. Rowan from the Film Stage Show.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. No. Calm down. Calm down. You can just. It's, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, Bran. How's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
We're trying not to be over encumbered by this studio audience that somehow found its way into the podcast.
Only for Brian, though. That's weird.
Do you think Brad walks around with them?
I have to assume so.
Like he has them like in a box beside him and he just opens the box whenever he wants noise.
That's what stopped the kids from eating because they were just, oof. Oh, boy.
If anyone else would do anything else that required an audience reaction, I'm sure that the audience would speak up.
Oh. Moving right along. Or as we do on this podcast. Anyways. This week, we have amassed an audience, obviously, as well as all of us, to discuss a very important film.
Oh, Jesus.
It's a movie. It's a movie in which people go to check on Qui-Gon Jinn in Japan because they heard stories.
Kylo Ren and Spider-Man go to find Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yep.
Yes. Tokyo stories?
I've decided we should really be calling him Dark Man. I think that's a better reference.
I mean, wasn't he Ra's al Ghul?
Yeah. I did that one already.
He was also Michael Connelly. I mean, like, he's been a lot of things.
Listen, he was taken, all right?
He's the guy whose daughter got taken
three times.
Drums of a broken, you blink, you could get taken.
We're going to be talking about Martin Scorsese's latest film, Silence.
Our Lord said to them, "Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every living creature."
Ferreira is lost to us. He denounced God in public and surrendered the faith.
That's not possible. Father Ferreira risked his life to spread our faith all over Japan.
It seems to me that our mission here is more urgent than ever. We must go find Father Ferreira.
This is in your hearts, then, both of you?
Yes.
Then I must trust God has put it down. The moment you set foot in that country, you step into high danger.
The film follows two pastors, fathers, whatever we want, priests.
They're priests.
Priests.
They're Jesuit priests.
Jesuit priests.
Two dudes.
Rodriguez and
Garu. This is also acceptable.
Who venture into Japan to look after their former teacher, Father Ferreira, who they've heard stories has denounced God and is now living in Japan. And they must duck and dodge as all the samurai try to kill all the Jesuit priests in feudal Japan.
You make it sound so much more action-packed than it is.
There are swords being drawn in this movie.
There's a sword.
Okay, cool, sorry.
And it's not drawn so much as it's sketched. Yeah, no.
I mean, a guy wielded a sword once, and they put that in the trailer, so...
Makes sense.
That's it. That's all you get.
You just get the one sword.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I brought up this movie a few weeks back. And I went, I'm not talking about it because I want to talk about the end. But we're not going to talk about the end yet. We're going to get to that eventually.
Mm.
I love this movie a lot. Like, this and Moonlight are the two movies of last year that I've seen so far, like, post doing our top 10 list that would have cut in without any problems. I like this movie not just for Scorsese reasons, right? you know... Oh, one of my favorite filmmakers made a movie. I just like everything about it. You know, it's Tarantino week when that happens, right? But I like this movie because of the way it plays with belief, right? We've talked about movies like Breaking the Waves, discussing religion and people's beliefs. We've talked about other movies that deal with that sort of idea before. That is my way of saying I can't remember their names right now. But somehow I started that sentence. We've talked about movies that deal with religion specifically, and a lot of those movies that we don't even watch, like The War Room, where we just see the trailer and we look at it and we're like, look, we can't deal with that right now. Right, but what I love about this movie as well as Breaking the Waves is it deals with it on a human level, where there are these people who believe in these things, but we're not going to discuss the reality of the belief. We're just going to deal with them and whatever they have to deal with having with these beliefs in this scenario. And in this movie, it would be the Jesuit priests going through feudal Japan where everyone is trying to kill all the Jesuit priests because they don't want Catholicism in Japan. They've decided to outlaw it.
I disagree with the crowd.
Your crowd work isn't on game, Damien.
The crowd is wrong in this one.
And you keep wondering why they're not responding to you. You just insulted them.
You're a shit crowd.
You sound more and more like Dave Chappelle every day. And I really found myself connecting with the way the movie played that character piece of having us follow this guy go through these trials, right? As opposed to having a movie go, we're about religion and we're going to tell you about how religion is cool and you should be in the religion too. It's not that.
It's like the opposite of like God's Not Dead or any of those pure flicks movies where it's like the crusty old academic who's like, well, God's obviously not real. And then by the end, he's like, truly he is risen.
And Easter weekend just happened, so, you know, mm-hmm. We can...
Yeah.
Yes.
But you always get those movies, and it's, like, the most, like, blaring, insistent, like, no, God is real, like, there's proof everywhere around you, and it's just, like, as a Catholic, I, like, find those movies repellent, but I'm with you, I loved Silence.
So tell me more, Brian.
Like, what do you want to know?
I want to know... On a scale of God's Not Dead to Silence, where is Silence?
Okay, yeah, I can tell you where that's gonna go. Somewhere in between.
It's just above Tree of Life, I guess, which is closer to Silence than God's Not Dead. Okay, so I guess, Yeah, I don't know. Miracles from Heaven, oddly enough, that Jennifer Garner film, that ranks as a silence. So I don't know.
No.
That's a lie. That's a terrible movie.
So how does this movie play for you? You say you love it. What is it that drew you in?
I like, first of all, it's a story you don't hear much. It's just a very interesting historical narrative. And seeing the way that this entire, like, this like government was like just furious about the concept of Catholicism taking root. And I think that it straddles the line because it could very easily be like a Christian hero narrative because of how the peasant class in Japan views these priests as like heroes. And they really bang on about how much they need Christianity in their lives. But the priests very openly say, like, I don't think these people are getting it. Like, I don't think they understand what we're even saying. I think that they're just trying to get something more than this crappy life they have. So at the same time that it lionizes what religion can give you, it also gives you a view of how someone who's ignorant of a religion could kind of take it the wrong way and use it as a simple comfort rather than like an actual moral compass, something to guide them. And I think that it strikes a very good balance of showing these priests as idealists and people with good intentions and also like a destructive force in this society. And the way that it ends on a note of ambiguity, it's a movie that kind of practices what it preaches, to use a very unfortunate analogy. It doesn't give you an easy answer. And at the end, when you're kind of hoping that it will give you like a key to unlock its meaning, instead you just get silence and you're like left with the questions. And I think that kind of acuity and an insight that still allows for a level of, you know, personal exploration at the end of it is pretty rare in cinema nowadays. Especially in movies that aren't like actively anti-Christian, because all the movies that are pro-Christianity or even vaguely understanding of Christianity usually are terrible, because, you know, they're that pure flicks nonsense that God's not dead. There was another one, I can't remember the name of it, but it was like a Crash knockoff, but with God.
Fireproof. Oh no. What do you? Fireproof.
There was Fireproof. There was The War Room, which is what y'all were talking about, which honestly seemed like a very destructive movie. Because, like, wasn't her husband, like, a horrible human being and like abusive, and her mother was just like, well, just go into a room and pray and things will get better.
I don't know, because all I remember is the trailer, right, which I blacked out enough. as much as possible of.
That was enough.
Yeah, no, it's, there's this weird thing. I won't say who I know, but I know someone who has a mother who stays with her, like, just terrible boyfriend. Actually, they got married, so terrible husband. And he is, like, awful, like, just really not great and, like, kind of really messed up this person I know just because of the way that he interacted with and affected their family. And the mother is like, well, don't I get any credit for staying with him like God would want me to? And it's like, no, you mad woman, because God would want your children to be safe. God would want your children to live in a household without like the threat of violence and drugs in it. Like, you don't get points for staying with a marriage just because marriage is a quote unquote like sacred thing. You need to get out and do what's actually good for the people in your life. And that's a lot of what this movie is about. It's about, you know, will you abandon your dogma to keep people safe here and now? Like, will you give up the concept of like your immortal soul in order to save the suffering of people who are innocent right now? And that's a tough thing to go for. And I'm not surprised that this movie wasn't that successful at the box office, because who wants to sit down and ask that question for 3 hours?
Scorsese does.
Yeah, and thank God he does.
Yeah, thank silence he does.
Yes, Buddha. Sang Buddha. Yeah. All hail silence.
Sang Buddha. weirdly enough, this is a dumb thing, but this week I sat down and I watched for the first time Kurosawa's Kagemusha, mm-hmm. Which is another historical samurai epic in feudal Japan. And there's this one random scene in there where, like, there's a warlord who's going down the road about to go into a battle or meet up with the other warlord. And he walks past a priest and he goes, "Priest, you come here, right? You, I will send you to this warlord to go and heal him." And I'm like, why is he being nice to the Catholic mm-hmm. priest in this scene? Like, did that Justice Scorsese tell me they murdered all of them?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, wait, this is supposedly 100 years before Scorsese's time, but
yeah, cause
still weird.
Without like, if you don't know like the proper context, it's a little weird because yeah, the Japanese for a while were like, sure, Christians, come on in, evangelize, like convert people, and then like their whole system of government was weird because they had an emperor, but there was also the shogunate, and then. I think the emperor was more of a figurehead and the shogunate was like the military ruler, and they changed guys. And the new guy was just like, you know, what's something that I really don't like? Catholicism. So can we like drive them out and stop that? And so that's when this movie picks up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Douglas, you sit there afar mm-hmm. looking like you pout.
And just like... remember that the audience is here still.
The audience awaits your judgment. Yeah.
That they do. And I wonder what they will think. I don't know what to think about this movie. I am a huge Scorsese fan.
Doesn't sound like it.
A lot of good things about this movie.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like it's one of those that you kind of need to give a little... space and time and then come back to. For instance, Taxi Driver. I absolutely hated Taxi Driver the first time I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, I was probably not even 20 yet. And
it's no excuse.
Didn't know what the hell it
was.
Having
40. At all.
But I've watched it since. Uh-huh. And now adore that movie.
Uh-huh.
Right now, I would say that this movie... I can appreciate the how good it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I love both Brian and Damien, so like they're just waiting for me to say the words so they can murder me. So yeah, I appreciate a lot of this movie, but it's not one of those.
They didn't even wait for you to say anything. You said "but" and they were on you.
It's not one of those movies where you come out of it and you say, yeah, I really love that movie. It's like, did I like that movie? I needed to think and
there's Fast and Furious.
Heaven
forbid, a movie should make you think.
There's that King Kong movie that's awesome.
Oh, that movie is...
Oh, God, that movie was terrible.
No, you're so wrong. Terrible. It's so good.
Let's not get
it's not
off
the
point
best
here.
Movie, but I do like that
it's
movie a lot.
It's a giant monster
it's,
movie.
Yeah, it's great.
And they did it right.
It's a giant, terrible monster
did,
movie.
Hey, did you like Godzilla, sir?
Yeah, I loved Godzilla.
Okay, fuck that movie.
Are you wrong? No.
That movie
it
sucks.
The same movie. The same movie.
You see, if they made Godzilla the more movie. Like King Kong, then Godzilla would have been a good movie. I said it.
Godzilla is a good movie. Godzilla is a great movie. And King Kong is like... Godzilla is like a thoughtful four-course meal. And King Kong is like a just... bowl of sugar with a spoon in it that has the word fuck you etched into it. Like, that's what King Kong is.
Brian, I think you saw a different Godzilla.
But I do think we saw the same silence.
Ah.
Yes.
Ah.
I did. Four course meal. Yeah, so this movie,
mm-hmm.
There are... It's weird. So there's definitely, at least for me, it seemed as if the main inquisitor, I can't remember his name.
Inoue-sama.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. He almost felt like there was a little bit of comic relief behind him.
He's a comedian.
Right? Yeah.
Like, outside of... Oh, outside like, of he's that? A comedy okay. actor. Mm-hmm. Issei Ogata.
Mm-hmm.
He's... Yeah.
And that seemed weird to do that with that character. And have, you know, you look at them and be like, are you... Is this supposed to be funny? Hmm.
He's cartoonishly evil.
Yes, he that's exactly what it was.
Well, that's... Yeah, it's funny that you should say that, because I found the comedy made him less cartoonishly evil. Like, he comes off less as, like, a Grand Inquisitor than as, like, kind of a goofy bureaucrat.
He's affable.
Affable.
Yeah, he's affable.
Sure, he's a
affable.
Murderous man.
He's one of those people who, like, you interact with him, and you're like, he's a cool, fun, yeah. crazy dude. And then one day, you're on the wrong side of that crazy, and you... And you're like, oh wait, no, he's an evil monster.
Well, any guy who's crazy, you get on the wrong side of his crazy, yeah. and it's not fun anymore.
Like the Liam Neesons.
Yeah.
Like if you take his daughter.
He could have been a nice guy to you, but then you took his daughter.
Liam Neeson, sweetest man in the world, just don't take anyone.
Right.
Don't even joke about taking
Don't
them.
Steal from the Neesons.
Do you think if you give him somebody that then he won't realize when you take them?
I mean,
because then it's
there's a small window. I mean, you can, but the window is very narrow.
So you're saying you can't give it to them and then take it 3 months later?
You can't.
Dad's
take
like,
it.
You know, do you need a ride to the mall? And it's like, no, John is taking me, and it's like, he's taking you where?
Just hears the word take and loses his mind.
I have a particular sense.
Just starts a monologue.
Sitting in a restaurant, the waiter comes over. Hi, can I take your... You can't take anyone. I was going to ask if I could take your drink order.
And then he shoots him in the leg.
No, he just starts, I have a particular set of skills. Like, what are you talking about? I'm here to take your drink order, lunatic.
But Damien,
hi.
We're done with Douglas. Douglas doesn't have thoughts anymore.
Right.
Do you have thoughts anymore?
He hasn't had time to think.
Exactly.
He knows that he should think, but he hasn't had time yet.
He's been very busy.
No, this movie, it's one of those where, like, you say, yes, it's a good movie, but did I enjoy watching the movie? I don't think so. It was...
That crowd is getting nasty.
Right? Can someone call the police? I don't. I fear for her. Like...
I think you should let them out of the box. Yeah.
These people are in my room, so I'm the one who should be getting nervous because they don't have anyone else to
help
them
or something. I don't know. Seem very upset.
I blame you.
If another director's name was attached to this, I probably wouldn't have gotten excited.
Oh,
But then, because when I saw the trailer, I was like, oh no, this is one of those Christian movies. And then it said Scorsese, and I went, oh shit, Scorsese, and started jumping.
You
up
really
and down.
Got that reaction from the trailer?
Like, the first couple of minutes of the trailer, it was just a movie about Jesus and people spreading Christianity, and I went, I can't, that's a hard pass, I don't want any of that.
Oh no, for me it really came off as like a Heart of Darkness, Apocalypse Now type of thing.
No, by the end of the trailer, once I saw Scorsese, I started paying attention to what the trailer was.
So you're saying someone said priest, and you were like, I'm out?
Yeah, right. Like, they're like, oh, we're going to bring Christianity to, and I was like, don't want
you
to
think
hear
that movie with like
any
what is his
this.
Name? Paul Bettany?
Yeah.
Who was like a vampire hunter?
Right.
It's like,
right,
oh,
when
no.
I saw the words priest, I'm like, I don't want any part. And I was right then.
I don't want no Jesus.
I was right then. But once I saw Scorsese's name, I got so excited. Like, I didn't even see the rest of the trailer. I was just like, it says Scorsese, so I'm going to watch it. And when this movie was finished, I was so very, very happy. Like, I don't know what Douglas saw. Like, the movie itself, all of it was done well. The checklist has everything on it. But what I enjoyed even more was the thing that it was dealing with, which is what happens when you take religion somewhere and the powers that be don't accept it. And mm-hmm. that also, the flip side of that is what happens when you want to impose your religion on a set of people. And while the movie doesn't deal with the latter, it gives you a clue as to what, because big religions get to be big religions by doing what the people in Japan did to Christianity. You don't allow other religions to grow because you're trying to build your religion, and where necessary, you murder all the people that disagree with you in order to grow your religion. It's happened all the time. We live here. The only reason I know what a god is, the god that I believe in, is because hundreds of years ago, when they took people from Africa and brought them here, they first demonized their religion. We call it, whatever remnant was left, we call Obia today, and it's like it's a mockery. No one talks about any other religion except Christianity here. And because it's like they've documented what happened to people who
Christians
came
are
here.
Horrible. Yeah, it's like, for instance, leprechauns. Do you know leprechauns were actually a religious figure?
When I read
and
that,
no,
I went,
What?
Yeah. Like, oh no, Christians, they're real dicks.
Yeah,
as
we
it
are.
Turns out.
There's a reason that Christmas is on December 25th, because that's the winter solstice. Yep. And guess what? That's when other another people used to worship. So they're like, oh,
we'll
just put something there. Yeah.
Yeah, it made it easier for them to convert, because they're like, oh, these people already have a thing.
Right.
If we put our stuff inside of their things, it's like, there's no bunny in the goddamn Bible. You know, they're just like, oh, spring fertility stuff. Well, that's kind of like coming back from the dead. So let's just co-opt that.
Seems close enough. No one cares. And so watching this movie where the religion that is the juggernaut where I am from goes somewhere but can't use force. They have to go about it the other way. And watching another religious group that has all the might remove them by force, and you see what needs to happen to people in order to keep a religion that isn't the dominant one. It has to change and warp, or you have to hide it deep down in order for it to survive. And even though it does survive, it is warped from what the original religion is. And I mean, Japan didn't keep up the assault against Christianity until this day, or you know, they'd be mocking Christianity, basically like how Islam's view Christianity. But Japan doesn't care anymore because they don't have to. But watching someone see their religion break, and then watch it warp them and turn them into something else, but still deep down hang on to the thing, because it is the thing that I don't have, but I sometimes envy. Just the belief part of it is the thing. The problem is blind belief tends to lead to you putting yourself above other people. And that's what they did for a time. They're like, listen, the religion is bigger than this, but not realizing that they're doing it for themselves, like it's not benefiting anybody else. You're doing it because you think you're supposed to do it, because it says you're supposed to do it. But there's people, real people, being affected by your selfish desires, and they even point it out to him. And just watching the steps that they take to like wear him down, and like, there's a part where he says he can feel the evil and the danger, and he can even see the beauty in it. And when you see them, like, meticulously go, we're going to do this, 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 and you, like, it continues to ramp up, and you're like, these people, because you want to look at it and go, these people are monsters. But if you take it from the Japanese side, and you go, we already have a religion here. What if some other religion, say Scientology, came to Jamaica and you were truly afraid that it was going to take root and destroy your religion? you take steps to prevent that from happening. Now, do you murder all the people?
Well, that's clearly the first choice.
That used to be the first choice before. Now we have...
It's the best one. I mean,
it's the one that will work, definitely. If you want to destroy a religion, murdering everyone that practices it is usually the best way to get it done. But we can't do that anymore. There's like human rights people trying to get in the way, and war crimes tribunals and all sort of things. So you really don't want to take it to that route. But just watching this story being told, I'd love to see it. This story told, but with the Christians being the bad guys, like some other religion, say Islam goes into somewhere, say America, and they're like, where the World Trade Center is, can we, like, there's nothing there now, there'll be a lot of mosque there, and just watch Americans lose their mind, like they did. like a thing that actually happened.
But I mean, I think there's a difference there, just in that...
No, it won't be as extreme, but it's still as ridiculous. The steps are still just as ridiculous.
I suppose, but like, you know, if you had like I don't even know if Islam has like missionary work, but if you just had like people coming in and saying like, hey, we think our religion's really cool, you should join, and the religion was what most religions in the world are, which is just like a series of spiritual beliefs to guide moral personal behavior, that's fine. Scientology is not that. Scientology like breaks up families and demands ever increasing amounts of money and utilizes blackmail and fear to keep people in line, and also created like a slave organization inside of itself. Like, that's an extreme and destructive thing. And most modern religions anyway, like, don't really preach like overthrow of the government. I just don't know if I like follow that same line of logic.
Are we still talking about Scientology?
I'm confused though. Isn't Scientology based on science? That's why science.
Oh, well,
the
yes,
name,
obviously.
Right?
Yeah,
right. It's based on science and pathology.
I think you can open the box for that one, Brian.
Thank you.
This is reminding me of that episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Do you watch that show?
No.
Yeah, he hates that show.
Nope.
Yeah. Me and you, Andrew, are the only ones on this podcast that like that show. I know you haven't seen the latest season, Douglas. Yeah. Brian, you've seen the latest seasons of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, right?
I have not seen the latest season, no.
There's an episode in there where they put spy cams in Charlie and Mac's mother's house. They live together.
Oh my god.
Because at first they were concerned that one was attacking the other. Then
they
after,
found out that they're lovers, but no, haven't they been lovers for 100 years?
No,
now?
That's not it, right? Okay. After sitting down and watching the footage for a while, Dennis goes, I know how to make this better, and starts putting sitcom like sound effects over it and editing it to be his own sitcom episode. All of the people watching Dennis does this now starts to visit the house to be the wacky guests on the show.
Oh my god, that is amazing.
And it is so perfect.
Which one's Kramer?
You see, when you guys describe this TV,
that's
show,
gotta be Charlie,
it
right?
Sounds
Charlie
incredible.
Kramer.
And then when I watch it with my eyeballs, it is always a disappointment.
Man, the show is so good.
Always a disappointment.
I always do this. I always stop at some point and then eventually have 3 years to catch up on, which is great when I'm catching up, but then, you know,
middle times
suck. But
have you oh, go ahead.
Sorry. No, you go ahead.
I was just gonna say, based on like audience reaction and stuff, have you all seen Rabbits by David Lynch?
I remember trying to watch that at some stage. I don't remember if I actually watched it. It's a YouTube show that he had.
Oh, okay. I thought he was talking about Inland Empire.
No.
Because I was forced to watch Inland Empire.
Yeah, they use bits of Rabbits in Inland Empire. Mm-hmm.
Well, if it's as good as Inland Empire, I hate everything about it.
Hard pass.
I liked Inland Empire, and I like rabbits.
You're a bad person.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a bunch of people with like giant immobile rabbit heads, and they just say random shit, and then there's like random audience of sound effects.
That's funny. Yeah, I remember when I was on that David Lynch kick. That's how I found out about it. And I don't think did I ever start watching that show? Probably not. Usually David Lynch leaves a scar of
some
sort.
What's the good thing David Lynch did again?
Blue Velvet.
Oh. Alright.
I also like The Elephant Man.
Mulholland Drive is bad.
I've never watched
it. It's a terrible, terrible movie.
It's not good?
It's bad.
I didn't like it.
It's so bad.
Really?
It's...
Wow. I've read people talk about like the meaning of that movie.
Uh-huh.
That's one of those movies that confuse the shit out of me. And I'm going to write it down as I don't get it. Right?
That's from a man who doesn't like selected.
Hold on. Brad. I want clarity here. Are you booing Damien for mocking me for liking Synecdoche, or are you booing me for liking Synecdoche?
I'm booing the unliking of Schenectady.
Okay,
Schenectady.
Cool.
All right. So once again, this crowd continues to be wrong. Terrible at their jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because Schenectady, right. New York.
You don't have
Schenectady,
to,
New York is the worst.
Yeah, don't you try and learn the proper pronunciation. It's a shitty movie. So who cares? Bring it, crowd, bring it. Especially you in the back, I see you. Waddle your fat ass off.
Just calling out individual people in the back of the crowd.
Yep.
like late people.
Oh, your parents.
All right, so silence.
Right.
We're talking about silence.
I absolutely adore this movie. I saw this movie, and even though Andrew had picked it, and I saw it and went, holy shit, I can't wait to talk about this. And Caribou was supposed to bring it out. And they didn't.
They're claiming they'll do it again this week.
Oh, they didn't bring it out last week
exactly.
again?
Exactly.
What?
Last week. Oh. They're like, it's coming Wednesday. Like, all right, let's see. And they didn't.
And Furious took it.
They claim it's coming this week. And I might go watch that movie I carry. Because I'll be sitting in silence. Who else is going to be in that theater? Just me. I'll have a theater alone. I can watch that movie on a bigger screen. It won't look better than on my TV. It won't sound better than on my TV. But now that is important because it will be bigger. And I already know what the movie is about.
There you go.
And I already know that I love it.
Can I tell you, I forgot that there's something I like about this movie. actually, I don't even know why I like it. But the guy, what's his name?
Kenjichiro?
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. the guide, he like pops in and out of the movie, and he's
forgive
kind of
forgive me,
yes,
Padre.
he's some sort of mirror image or parallel to Andrew Garfield or just them in general, and I kind of like that. I kind of like how he kind of interweaves him into their story and how he just continues to fuck with them. Right? There's just no way. Every time he comes back and he's like, I'm sorry, I screwed up.
Didn't do it for the money.
I didn't mean to. Uh-huh. I want to repent.
I'm weak.
And every time it takes Garfield a little longer and a little more energy to forgive him. And then he does. And he's like, all right, fine. I think you're a good person. Me and you can, we can be friends. And then he fucks him over again.
Yep.
And it's just an onslaught straight up until the end.
Constant backstabbing.
Yeah.
Kenjichiro. I mean, we haven't said it. It's obvious as a Scorsese movie, but boy, this movie is pretty. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
And they murder Kylo Ren. For a second there, I was like, is this movie going to... And then... Of course it did.
Actually,
it's all about Spider-Man.
Yeah, I remember thinking that he was going to get his own section, and that did not happen.
Yeah.
It super didn't
like
happen.
Like when I saw him, like, wait a second. Why would they bring them to... Oh, they're not coming together. All right, never mind.
All right. I want to talk about the end of this movie.
Yes.
Right, so Anyone listening, if you haven't watched Silence, if you haven't watched Silence and you're all like, I need to see this movie, I don't want to hear you guys talk about, turn it off now. Mm-hmm. We're going to spoil things about this movie.
Have the crowd do a countdown to the spoiler section? No.
So, later in this movie, mm-hmm. as the trials have gotten harder and harder, mm-hmm. Garfield finally apostatizes. Yes. He finally steps on the image of Jesus. And in this scene, eventually, as he's continually questioning who he's praying to and why he's doing this and should he give in, eventually he hears a voice. And the voice tells him it's okay. Now, we've kind of done the round table discussing of your level of faith mm-hmm. and your religious background a little bit mm-hmm. on the at the table. And I've been trying to decide myself how I want to take this scene, right? Do I want to take it like how I feel Breaking the Waves goes, in that it is literally a message from God, where this voice is actually God talking to Andrew Garfield, telling him it's okay, or if it's just a voice in this man's head, as we've seen him kind of shown moments of manic craziness, right?
Yeah.
On and off in the movie. And to tell you the truth, I still haven't come to a full decision as to where I think this movie wants to take me. And that ambiguity can be great and it can be bad when it comes to movies like this. Because I know Damien, for example, mm-hmm. has come on this podcast multiple times and generally hated ambiguity when it comes to things like this, where he's like, no, I need an answer. I need you to tell me what you meant to say.
Yeah, like when things make sense.
And then I can decide whether you make any sense at all, and then I'll judge your movie based on this.
Easier,
definitely. Yeah. I think I'm leaning more on the side that it's literally the voice of God, mm-hmm. that he actually heard God talk to him, and in my head, from that moment forth, he and God have conversations, just generally.
No.
like that's a movie I have in my head.
What are you talking about?
A fun movie.
He's like, no, I apostate every month. He writes that letter. I don't believe in God, and he's like, God, I didn't mean it. He's like, I know.
God's like, it's all right. We're cool.
JK, God. Jesus for life.
You think at the end God made fun of him for the hair that he grew out and the
I'd like
fingernails? He's like, hey, what you doing there, son?
I definitely made fun of him.
It sounds like most of you guys are on the crazy side.
The crazy, I don't think it's crazy. I think he just gave himself an out.
Yeah.
Like he got tired of, because like, you know, if you say you hear the literal voice of God, odds are you're probably nuts. It's just how it is. And I don't conceive of this movie deciding to go like literal God speaking to him route, because that removes all of that interest. But there is that question of like, if you feel a strong impulse, if you have a drive to do something, is that or is that not? What's happening?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Is that
nothing is happening?
The playoffs are okay. Happening.
Is that or is that not God like working through you? And it's impossible to know. It, one of the great mysteries and
right.
tenets of Catholicism, at least, is like the mystery of faith. Like, why do we believe these things when there's no empirical way to prove them? And that's just what it is. So for the movie itself, from Scorsese, who is a lapsed Catholic, to make that choice to like have God just talk to him, like that doesn't make literally any sense to me. I think it's him, you know, making a decision grounded in scripture and faith and belief, and doing it.
I mean, he also saw the face of Christ in water. Batman a lot of things.
Yeah, but he was like, on drugs.
When he was hunger and thirst, yeah.
Is where that you bring up the idea of if someone says they literally hear the voice of God, more than likely they're crazy.
Yeah, we'll have to talk
I remember asking when I was a lot younger, and I was to take First Communion, and I had to, I don't know what they call the class, but you had to go to like some sessions, like
the church is
pretty
weird.
Sure it's called communion class.
I don't remember. I literally asked the woman that, like,
when does God call? Like, is it 7:30?
Like, do you hear him?
When I open the book, is there like a phone?
I'm like, all right, just level with me. Like, if you literally heard it, would you like check the doors? Would you think something's wrong with your head? And she's like, yes, I would. I do all of those things. I'm like, all right, cool, thank you.
Listen, he talks to one white man far, far away, right? He comes and he talks to us once or twice a year. And then he drives away in his Popemobile and is never seen from again.
Douglas, are you on the crazy side? Are you on the real side? Are you?
I don't know if I'm on a side. All right. So I don't think this is the voice of God, but it could be. This is a movie, right? It's play. It's playtime. It's pretend. It's fake stories. Okay, yes. Cool. But. How
Japan
I kinda...
is real though.
I'm sure. I've seen
it's,
ads.
It's certainly true
it
that it is
look
a story.
Real.
I'm kind of, I guess, close to what Brian is saying. I didn't actively decide that this was, you know, his mind or him giving himself an out. Or I didn't even read this as a voluntary thing. It was more just. Maybe it's a feeling inside him where he says, this is okay. Or maybe it's just some sort of narrative that's put on the story by the filmmaker or whatever it is. And I didn't really think too much about it. I was just like, okay, that's a thing. But no, I don't think it's the voice of God talking to
now that we're talking about it, I don't even think that was necessary.
It was
I
not
think
necessary.
If they had cut that out, nothing about this movie changes.
Yeah, nothing whatsoever.
And there a lot be... of it changes for me.
No, I mean,
well, hold on, why?
Yeah,
because like the thing about it is that if we took it out and he just apostatized and he gave in, then it's definitively a moment where he gives basically what Inoue has been telling him all this time. He's giving in so that other people don't suffer anymore.
Right.
And that's it. It's just his decision to give in and free all these people from their suffering, which is a good decision and a good character thing and all.
Yeah,
right? But to have the voice of God kind of give him an okay to go ahead and do this, it no longer makes it just about him. It's just like everything else he's been doing. It's something he believes God has told him he should be doing, right? Just like God has told him to go and preach the word, just like God has told him to abstain from sex, or all the things God tells all of the believers to do, and therefore it makes it more and more a movie about belief rather than what you would be proposing, which is a movie about people. And people making decisions about other people.
Right, because, and again, that's like, even if it is just his choice, like he's making it, you know, when I haven't seen this movie in months, so I may not get the words completely right, but he's looking down at this face of Jesus, this Fumei, I think is what they call it, and he's supposed to step on it, and the voice of God or Jesus says to him, like, you know, trod on me. Like, I was born to be trod on. Like,
it's
that
okay.
is my purpose. And so he does it, which is, you know, if you think about it, a correct fact. Like, Jesus was born, if you believe it, to die for the sins of the world. And so stepping on his face, not the worst thing that could happen to him. It's literally his purpose is to be the punished to save everyone else. And then from there, you know, you're able to you know, if he believes he has been given permission by whatever came out of the silence to speak to him, then that question that ends the movie of whether or not he was lost to God, only God can know. I mean, if you didn't have the voice of God in his head, then that question would be moot, because at this point he could be living his entire life, you know, as a member of Japanese society, as a Buddhist, and still believe that he's not lost to God. And it's an important question for him, and, you know, it should be for the audience at this point as to whether or not he is or not.
All right, so my reading of it, and without the voice, whoever voice it is,
is it Alicia Keys?
It was Liam Neeson right behind him.
was it CeeLo?
Listen, you can't make jokes for our TV show.
Was it Carson Daly?
You've never seen that TV show.
I watched the first episode.
You're a liar.
I did, with Will I Am and Nick Cannon.
You're a liar. My reading of it is, he has now understood the position that he's in. Because before, he thought that there was something to be gained by him continuing to be steadfast and say these things while people die around him. But he, through seeing Ferreira, he realized that there's no winning here, right? They're the government. There's nothing, there's no extent, there's no ending to the punishment that they can dish out, to the amount of people that they will kill, just so that he can feel vindicated within himself. And so if he did the thing and the people lived, he could still go on. I don't see how that diminishes his faith in the Lord. He has just accepted the position
I'm not saying it does. What I'm saying is if the way I'm taking the movie is the way that I've decided and the way that it's quote unquote right, then it doesn't. I'm not saying that the other way diminishes his faith or anything. All it does is it makes that question of question at the end of the movie was, is he lost to God or not? Yeah. And obviously, if you take the voice of God as to be just him being crazy or him giving himself or whatever excuse, as opposed to being the literal voice of God, that question is definitely something where you have to ask yourself and be like, well, I guess I really don't know. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean anything that he necessarily was or wasn't. Right? I'm saying that he definitively wasn't.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, that's your reading.
Yeah, I'm just saying that the movie is definitive about it.
Oh, okay.
Right? That's the only positive, the only thing that the way I'm looking at it is.
Okay.
Right? And it's only because of that one scene I've decided to take it as a literal.
Okay.
But wouldn't this be an interesting end to the movie if it was really his manifestation of what he has decided in his mind is what God would say? He's like, you know what, he'd be okay with this right. Sucks. And then you think about it, and the rest of his life he would have this gnawing feeling, what if I was wrong?
Maybe. Yeah. And that's, to me, that's what makes the movie compelling, is that question. I mean, almost universally, I will never accept that this movie has the voice of God speaking to him. Like, I will only ever take that as him trying to rationalize it and not rationalizing it in his own voice. And then I think the question then becomes, you know, he has apostatized, and in doing so, he has beaten his pride, because for the longest time, he thought that the worst that could happen was that they would kill him, in which case he'd become a martyr, which is great if you're Catholic, to become a martyr. If you have the opportunity to be martyred as a Christian, go for it.
It's because, on your to-do list,
number one.
Yeah, I mean, like, that. There's no better way to die as a Christian. Is like, you go to heaven, like, sooner or later they make you a saint, like, you're a friggin' rock star. Whereas if you die of, like, the croup or something, you're just another asshole who's dead. So if you can get martyred, that's great, but that's very prideful. And so for him now, you know, he did a bad thing for his immortal soul, but for a good reason, and renouncing his pride and his dedication to dying for his faith. So it's this weird confluence where if he believes it in his heart, like, does his apostasy not count? But, you know, if he's saying it publicly, then why doesn't he have the courage to? And it's like, well, he's trying to save these people. But it's like, well, if he was really trying to save those people, he would try to convert them still. It's a really dark, twisted, Jigsaw-esque moral puzzle for him. And that's what I got out of the movie. And that's why I liked it so much.
And what I'm saying is, I didn't need a voice on that part. Like, all of what he said is the thing that I think. I just, like, without the talking part there, all of that still remains exactly the same. Because he'd still have to question the decision he makes for the rest of his life and ask himself, is it even possible for me to be good with God if I made... If there is no talking, if there is nothing there, and he just went to save these people and all these other people, let me step on this thing because
but there's I think no there's, end in sight. I think there's a problem there because you need that spiritual reassurance in order to make that question count at the end. Because if you don't have that, if he did just do it to help these people, mm-hmm. then without having what he believes to be a good spiritual reason to do it, and, like, a pass?
No, but there is a good spiritual reason to do it.
They're but you'd, going to you'd stop never be
murdering
able...
people. He sees, he can see with his eyes what they're doing to people because he's refusing to
but,
do so.
So you the go, problem is,
I need
if
to
those...
save people, and it is not all about me. Let these people live.
If it's a day of torture and death measured against an eternity in paradise, though...
For who?
You know, to him, it doesn't matter.
For the people, they suffer for a day of torture, then they die, then they have an eternity of paradise in heaven.
Right, but
right. Like that's a fair trade, and that's what he would believe.
Right, but they keep chipping away at it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, it's brutally effective.
Right, and they've chipped so far that he's finally, like, he makes a decision that it is easier for me to let these people live and try and get back in the... Spend the rest of my life secretly trying to get back in the graces of... So when they ask the question at the end, is he still... he did the thing and the people were alive and then he spent the rest of his life quietly doing all the things, right? But not getting these people murdered as a result. And so the question can still be asked, at least for me,
mm-hmm.
the question can still be asked at the end.
Maybe it's because I'm a Catholic, but I don't think it carries the same weight. Like, right. if he did it just because he didn't want them to be hurt,
mm-hmm.
then if it didn't have that voice of God, in my mind, yeah, he's just given up. But if he is able to give himself an out morally... through an argument made to him by what is the voice of God or Christ or something, that makes it more interesting. Because he's not saying, fuck it, I'm just going to do this and I'm going to like not believe it in my heart and I'm just going to do it and these people are going to be fine. That's completely different than, you know, this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was made to suffer and die for us, so I'm just going to step on him because that's his entire purpose and therefore I can... You know, even in living my life as though I don't believe, still maintain my chosen place at the right hand, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if that makes sense.
It's because you're Catholic.
Yeah, like, and I think that...
Like, the thing you just said sounds, at least to me, like, the exact, like, he just needed a way to stop. Like, whether the Lord spoke to him, like, from the outside, from an outsider's perspective, would make a difference.
Yeah, and that's what I like. This movie
stepped on the thing, so it doesn't matter.
And that was one of the weird things.
Whether someone
is that,
told him yes or no, the resulting actions of him stepping on it, none of that changes. Whether someone told him to do it, yeah.
Right.
So he still would have to spend the rest of his life in doubt to whether or not he is still in God's good graces, because he's still not doing. He's not following the word of the Lord after the fact idol. He's
right,
not going, I'm going to pray to every and hold communion and baptized. Like, none of that was done. So he still didn't do any of that with the remainder of his life.
Damian, is it crazy? Conditioning is a hell of a thing, you know. Okay. So you just said the word of the Lord, uh-huh. right? I almost said thanks be to God.
Your spirit.
Like, my problem with especially big religions.
So you're the niche ones you're okay with.
No, I have two problems.
He's fine
with
a snake handler here and there, but you know, when you get to like an Anglican or something.
I have two problems. One is real big and one is a lot smaller. The faith question is a lot smaller one because I can appreciate to an extent someone believing in something that they can't prove. I get it, right? I don't follow it. I don't have that faith in anything, but I can see the benefits there. That is the minor problem. Large religions, though, have a very big problem. The murdering of people throughout the years to get to that large scale. That is the problem I have. Because churches don't come back and go, yo, dog. Remember all those things that we did? Here's the thing. At the time the book said, because they have to bend the rules, but truth is supposed to be static, right? If it is true in Japan, it is true in Portugal.
No, but if you look at large churches, they told you that argument doesn't work.
Right.
Okay.
Right. If you look at large religions and how they maneuver themselves, they change over time. No one addresses that. And they murdered a lot of people. Every single one of them. And that is where I go, listen, I want to, but you guys have a grip of dead bodies around there. And especially Chris, like, I remember my sister is still in the Mormon church. And I remember when they came out and they're like, listen, Catholic priests have been raping little boys for a minute. And my sister said, I will guarantee you today nothing happens as a result of this. And I'm like, no, the numbers seem high. And she's like, listen, the Catholic Church is basically Teflon. Like, they will get away with anything. And I remember her saying it, and I went, so you think your religion is different, don't you? You think that if it happened in your, you guys would just go, you know, middle fingers, and you'd all walk out. No, you distance yourself from those monsters and go,
it's like, yeah, well, that's
the Lord nuts. Works in mysterious ways, and you just move on.
My problem with them.
You just move on.
The problem with holding past violence against religion is that you've got to start doing that against, like, everything then. Like, you've got to start going after, like, families and nations. And, like, we as a species have never wanted for reasons to murder one another. And religion has been a big motivator of that. But, like, nationalism, tribalism, food, like, it, I don't know, like, I can't, like, I if someone were to tomorrow stone someone to death because the person throwing stones was Christian and they hated the person who they stoned to death because they were gay, obviously that's different, but, like, I can't keep trying to care about the Crusades. Like,
yeah, because the history was written by those who won the Crusades.
I literally have no idea who won the Crusades.
The
it Crusades, seems like at some point
they murdered everyone that didn't agree.
But that's it was no, because it's like the so there was this holy city of Jerusalem. The both sides retook it and took it, and then at the same time that was happening, like the Muslim populations were like moving into Spain and then towards Turkey, and then that just like bleeds into stuff like the Armenian genocide in World War I. I mean, like. It just keeps happening, and, like, all we can really do now is just stop now and just get over it. And but, like I said, we keep finding new reasons. Like, it's still happening in Syria, and everyone has an opinion on Syria. My only opinion is that someone needs to write a book really quick so that I can read it, because I literally don't know who I'm supposed to be rooting for. Like, I just...
Innocent people?
That's the thing, is like, it's like, okay, great. Like, I want the civilians to live in peace and harmony, but like, which, what outcome will allow for that? Like, does everyone just have to,
that
like,
is the problem.
Stop?
If anyone knew that answer, it wouldn't be, wouldn't still be happening.
Because it's like, okay, listen, Assad like gasses people, obviously a bad thing. And then it's like, okay, well, the rebels just blew up a bus full of children. It's like, well,
I like
okay,
how,
I guess
I like
Star
how
Wars
you're
logic
looking past here. The one common denominator in this, which is the religion. You know what we need to get over? The religion part. How about we take that out of it? See if we can't. See if it does make it easier for people to come to agreements when there's not the Lord standing in your way. But there's no
way
to get
that. But I don't think it would be.
Yeah.
Like I said, like I think that you take that away and then you, because people want a clump. Like no one wants to feel alone. And so if you were to get rid of religion, I mean, you would just have, you know, people would start reverting to whatever their ethnicity is. You know, I would have to, I guess, make a choice between Irish and Italian, which is difficult.
Or you could just be an American.
No, that's not going to work. Right. You know that. have you looked around America recently? Like, we suck at just saying we're all Americans. Like,
yeah, but religion has
weirdest...
a big part to do with that.
Now,
religion does play a big role in that. You
I don't
guys
think
are
it does.
To a lot of people, cause
no, because
Jesus.
It's funny because all of the Christians I know are totally down with saying I'm an American, and then. A lot of the non-religious people are like, we can't just call ourselves Americans because that marginalizes other groups of people. It's insanity. I literally don't have an answer. So unless we all one day decide to claim citizenship to the world as a whole.
That sounds right.
Do you really believe that would ever work?
Does that mean I don't need a visa?
No, yeah, that is what I believe.
Then in that case, fuck yes. Sign
that
me
is
up.
The belief I will hang on to and murder for. We're all citizens of the world. Anyone that doesn't believe that,
can get
especially
murdered.
Andrew, I'll murder.
Anyways, I think we should wrap this up here because we've gone so far
I think
far
we are
away.
Super close to solving the problems
religion?
In the middle.
Yeah.
If we just...
Oh, I thought we were answering the question. Was that God's voice? Did we get the answer to that?
We already know it's not.
Sounded like, what's his name?
Ciarán Hinds.
Well, what I was about to say. Oh, actually,
Morgan
it did sound
Freeman.
Like.
Yeah,
was,
it did sound like. For a second, you're like,
nah.
Is that Morgan Freeman?
Yeah, I did, and then I realized, no, I think it's Ciarán Hinds. But,
it is Ciarán Hinds, yeah.
Oh, nice. But we know it's not the voice of God because we've heard the voice of God. In Preacher.
Yeah.
That's
and it wasn't
not
that.
What that sounds like. Yeah.
Turns out God's missing. He's been missing for a while.
But he's not dead.
No, he's
no,
not.
No, he's not.
We can all agree that God is not dead.
I love...
Well, they've made two movies about it, so. Yeah.
Can't wait. One is The Passion of the Christ. And the second one is what? Oh, God's not dead.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
I guess three.
And then there's God's not dead too.
Yeah.
He's not dead again.
God's still not dead.
Still not dead.
Is three going to be, are you sure God's not dead?
Still with us.
I found some evidence this time.
I think I found that movie I was talking about earlier, the one that was like a Crash knockoff. I think it's called Do You Believe?
The answer is not in this movie.
And it stars Sean Astin.
I don't believe in
that. Sean Astin, wow.
Yeah.
The not so mighty have fallen.
And Sybil
Shepherd.
That's
Rudy, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And Samwise.
Yeah.
Mm.
What else was he going to be in?
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings ended. To move on.
When is more Lord of the Rings coming up?
It's done. No
I
more.
I could do it
no
some more.
Lord of you don't need any fucking more Lord of the Rings things.
I
We're
could
over.
Do with some more Lord
can,
of the Rings.
You can watch
I
more Harry Potter and hate yourself even more.
I watched
I would
Fantastic
spit
Beasts
on a
and Where to Find Them.
If it ensured that we never got more Lord of the Rings movies.
I watched Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. I like that movie. It's
fuck that
oh
movie.
My god.
It's so bad.
I would again. I would renounce God
it's
if
more...
it meant no more Harry Potter
it's
films.
More Harry Potter.
Just step on this image.
I'll mail you
the...
Don't even ask me what I'd do to make sure that no more Transformers movies come out.
But that new trailer with the little girl, it's so inspiring. It's like the Pepsi ad.
It's kind of interesting because, I mean, I was talking to my younger brother the other day that there's Transformers, there's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, mm-hmm. there's no Power Rangers,
yes.
And I think there was one more that I named, but I can't remember right now.
Jason Wheelwars.
And there are all of these movies coming out now being rebooted and remade and whatever the fuck you want mm-hmm. to call it, where when those things were made back whenever they came out, mm-hmm. they were made for 10-year-olds.
And right. They're still being made.
They're still being made for 10-year-olds. And weirdly enough, there was a lie being propagated mm-hmm. around the world that the Transformers movies weren't really for 10-year-olds to begin with. Like, they were PG-13, but, like, adults can watch them. Right, you guys are fans of it, you should. But they're not lying about it for Power Rangers and for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They're like, these are straight up for 10-year-olds. You think you liked them back then, don't even try.
You're an adult,
you can stop.
Stop it.
This trailer for the new Transformers is the first one where I've looked at it and be like, right, it's for 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
You should have seen that a long time ago.
You stop. Did the first time. You went, boy, this is the worst. All right, I'm an adult. I have bills and shit. Don't have time for Power
that
Rangers.
That is adulthood, bills and shit. I have a funny thing that I just want to share that I just noticed. So I went on IMDb and looked up Do You Believe, the religious movie,
yes.
by the makers of God's Not Dead. Do you want to guess what, like, the giant wraparound ad on the page is for?
Miracles, the hockey movie.
No, what about the woman that... What's it, the new Netflix movie? The woman that everybody hates or whatever?
That wouldn't be on IMDb.
The most hated...
That wouldn't be on
I don't know.
IMDb.
Why not?
It's Guardians of the Galaxy, Amazon that's going to come IMDb.
Okay, now. All right, I'll just tell you. So, wrapping around the entirety of the IMDb entry for Do You Believe, a deeply Christian film from the makers of God's Not Dead, is an ad for The Handmaiden.
Nice!
Oh. Once again, Amazon owns IMDb.
See, exactly. That is why. Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're a repressed Christian, eh? Well, perhaps you'd like to see some Korean women have sex.
No. Would you like to hear a retelling of Jingle Bells?
No. It's saying Jeff Bezos owns all of this. You better put this ad on every page. Or you'll be fired in the morning.
Their love is God's love.
Amazon's just trolling. Amazon just trolling all over the place.
They have an if statement, if religious movie, The Handmaiden. Mm-hmm.
God's Not Dead, it's something called Fortitude with Dennis Quaid, also an Amazon original.
Oh no.
Wow.
Oh no.
Do you guys have anything you want to talk about?
Well,
that Star Wars trailer hit, and the internet jumped up and down.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Did you guys like the Star Wars trailer?
I don't care.
It was fine.
It was pictures for a Star Wars movie. To remind me, it'll come out in December.
Oh, so it's not just me. Because I was, like, for a good half of that trailer, I thought I was being punked. Like, I thought, oh no, this is just shitty footage from, like, blooper reels
of
the last movie. And then
there
was,
like,
explosions.
Yeah, a lot of it's stuff we've already seen.
Like, look, is this a new trailer?
Look, I want to see Thor. I don't care about that fucking Star Wars right now.
That Thor ad.
Finn appears to still be in a coma, which is funny.
That Thor ad is...
Fucking Poe Dameron is still running away from exploding starships.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Daisy Ridley is...
She's training, I guess.
She's one with the Force.
There has to be a scene
already pretty
where
good.
Mark Hamill rides her back.
Yeah.
You know that Matrix Reloaded movie when he punches the ground and, like, the ground wobbles and then he takes off in the air? That's what I want to see Daisy. Basic
take off.
Fly away.
No longer need the Millennium Falcon. I can get there.
Listen, I want him to...
Remember
the end of the last movie when Darth Vader murdered everyone in the hall? That is the dope shit I want to see with the Force. All of this bullshit...
Right?
I want stopping laser guns with your hands, and I want dope shit with the I don't want any more political or no more talking and crying. I don't want another crying movie, right?
Have we ever in a Star Wars film seen anyone in a spacesuit?
Outside of Darth Vader,
I don't think that's a spacesuit. That has a cape.
I don't think we have.
I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, they never like go into space.
Like they're always in safe zones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where they can, where like, they don't have to have on those kind of equipment.
Right. Even like the fighter pilots don't have like a pressurized spacesuit. So like if their like engine catches on fire in the vacuum of space, which in and of itself is not something that could happen, but like they can't eject, right? Or
but where like, do just, you eject to?
Space.
You just eject out, and uh-huh. then like you have a distress beacon, uh-huh. and then after the battle is over, someone comes and picks you up.
Yeah. It's like when you're stuck at the mall, racer. And your
like
parents
a pilot
need to come
in the
get
ocean.
You.
Space is
yeah.
big.
Yeah. Yeah. Malls are big.
That's why I went with pilot in the ocean, not mom at the mall.
I watched Gravity. Like, this turns out well.
Like they have the droids, so like if their ship is damaged, the droid just goes out and like fixes it in space. But like we've never seen anyone in Star Wars do like a spacewalk.
It's almost like Star Wars is dumb. I saw some article like George Lucas was shitting on people, like reminding them that Star Wars was for children, and the internet got upset. Fuck you, George Lucas.
There was like an interview with Alec Guinness, who was like real pissed that like this kid had seen it like 12 times, and he like told the kid like, "Oh God, don't do that."
Really?
Well, you should be in school.
Yeah, go and learn something. Be a productive human. Don't worship Star Wars. Silly child. I agree, Crowd. I agree.
And with that...
That was the air horn.
It's true. I did want to say something. Or at least, wait. What are you
going to... I was going to lead into you guys.
Oh, okay. Because I was actually... I wanted to ask you a question.
Right.
Because I've been thinking about it. And lately, I've been really...
Will they? Won't they?
I've been really feeling for some fruit cocktail. Do you know what?
I mean, I have a pineapple tree at home.
Ah, yes. Yes.
It took him a while, but he got there eventually.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, it's an ad.
No! goddamn YouTube. I
know,
do
YouTube
hate that.
YouTube is the worst.
Yeah.
It used to be the best thing. No, it's the worst thing. Because I can listen to
these songs all day. This is another deeply lyrically complex song.
Can you pause this track for a second? Andrew Robinson is over here. We've done this for 7 weeks. And he now is singing one of the... No, 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 no. You don't get to do that. You are either part of this or you sit over there and you shut the fuck up.
Hi, I heard my name. What's going on here?
When was the saddest day in your life?
It was today.
Uh-huh. When you sat on this podcast.
Yes, when I sat on this podcast and I feigned interest in bad music.
And silence.
Oh.
So are we all just going around and saying what the saddest day of our life was?
Sure, Brian, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I went to the Statue of Liberty once with my family. And there's a restaurant, you know, down in the bottom where you can get, like, a hot dog or something.
I don't know. I've never been there.
Okay, well, there's a restaurant.
Thank you.
And there's seating outside because it's in the middle of the river and it's nice out. So when it's nice out, you can go and sit outside and eat. And I'm, like, I don't know, 6 or 7. I got my hot dog. I got my french fries. I step outside and a fucking seagull swooped out of the air and took the hot dog right out of
the
bun.
Hot dog. Yep.
Right out of the bun. So I had the bun, which I wasn't going to eat, and then I had my french fries, which I was still going to eat, and then I went inside and I was like, the goddamn seagull, oh, I was sick, so I probably didn't say it like that, but I said a seagull took my hot dog, can I get another one? And they're like, sure, like that'll be $7.50. And I was like, but a seagull took my hot dog. Can I just have another one? And they're like, well, yeah, but like you still got that last one.
Yeah. No one told you to feed it to a seagull.
I didn't feed it. The seagull stole it. Stop victim blaming.
Is there a seagull prison? Are there laws on the books that say a seagull can't steal from you? right? I've never Charlie seen that law.
We have to talk to Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
No.
Mosquito's bird law.
No. Right? You bird stepped law. Out. Right? The seagull took you. You got took.
And Liam Neeson wasn't there to help.
Right. You got bird jacked.
Now, if Liam Neeson was there on his side, he would have gotten the bird for you.
Right.
Because he has those skills.
He has a very special set of skills.
But you did that to yourself.
Yeah.
I don't, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just going to go.
Yeah. So, Douglas, what was the saddest day of your life?
In retrospect, the saddest day of my life was when I decided to play this joke about dancehall reggae.
Yeah.
Because I now have a year's worth of
shitty dancehall music to talk about.
Yeah.
It was the best day of my life.
Who couldn't love this? This is the second time I've had to do this.
And it's incredible.
As an American man who has no concept of still really what this is. And we went through a long conversation the last time I was on this.
Yes, we did.
No, it won't be as long this time.
Really, we don't want to go over like the beats and everything.
The song sucks. It's the problem.
But it's one of the 50 best dancehall reggae songs, according to Pitchfork.
According to Lunatics. This song sucks. It's barely dancehall.
Again, they just repeat the same shit all the time.
Barely reggae.
Yeah.
And it's 100% bad. I do not like Wayne Wonder.
No, he's not somebody that you should like. But before we move on.
Why is it that he's so bad? How come Stevie Wonder can't see, but Wayne Wonder can? Like, where is the justice in this world?
Well, Wayne clearly is an asshole and blinded Stevie.
Right. Took Stevie's side.
Yeah.
Did not help. Still bad at music.
But, I mean, as per usual.
Yes.
We need to talk about this intro that Pitchfork has for this song because, Damien, it's special. So, it's a few paragraphs long, but I'd like to pay close attention to the final paragraph because it starts as such. Saddest day pairs Wayne's pitch-perfect vocal. First of all, let's stop there, right? Yes.
That whiny son of a bitch.
No, they're talking Pitch Perfect, the movie.
Oh, my goodness.
Not
Pitch
Perfect.
Oh, Wayne Wonder. In no world is his pitch ever perfect. I mean,
But those beautiful vocals.
No, those beautiful vocals. Anyway, so it pairs Wayne's pitch perfect vocal and soaring bridge with a rugged rhythm. His voice is full of pain as he belts out the heart-wrenching chorus.
Yeah. So it goes, Temptations, Percy Sledge, Wayne Wonder.
Yeah, exactly. And
I love that the heart-wrenching chorus is, the saddest day of my life is when she left me with a broken heart.
Mm-hmm.
I was feeling the pain.
The pain.
The pain.
The pain.
The pain.
The pain.
T-Pain.
The result is a dance hall masterpiece that soothes the soul and remains a landmark moment for Wonder.
Yeah. Oh, so, Brian, as an outsider looking in and having listened to at least a portion of this song, does your soul feel adequately soothed?
You've heard enough.
Okay, look, I know you can't, I don't know if you played the first number 50, I guess, for like another person on another podcast, because I was so sad that we lost my episode that I stopped listening. But I know that it's wrong. I know that it's wrong to judge an entire country or culture or people based on like two songs that I've only half heard while making fun of them.
Yeah.
But like, what the hell are you guys doing? Like this, look what you've made. Look what your world has brought. Like this, what is happening over there? Like, first of all, do you guys need some guitars? Like,
air horns, we're fine.
Yeah, yeah. Our musical instruments consist of...
Bass drum here.
Vinyl. No, they consist of records.
Right.
right. Air horns.
Right. Bass drums.
Gunshots.
Yes.
Police
sirens.
Police sirens. And that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like America has country music, which is not good.
It is a travesty.
But like, I don't understand what's happening with this stuff. Like, God damn, I'm sorry.
We've picked the two times where it's been. You've been on the two worst ones, in fairness. Like,
there's... And yet, they still rank in the top 50 of all time.
This list is shitty. You see now why we had to come and talk about this list. Because it is real bad. Imagine
I
if
demand
someone
to
said,
be invited back for a good song.
No.
You don't get that.
Only the worst are the worst for you. You don't get to have good music. By any standard.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I guess I deserve that.
Because the next time you come on and it's bad, you're just going to go, dancehall is even music. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a part of me that's like, does this count? Like, does this...
It's just weed, smoke, and rum, and anything that makes noise over there. I don't.
Yeah, like, people are so drunk and high. Yeah. This is getting real close to being inappropriate.
I don't want to sound racist, but boy.
I don't want to sound racist, but I will power through it in order to talk some more shit about dancehall. Like, really, you guys, you have to give me something to listen to on my own so that I can understand.
He's dancehall, right? That shitty accent.
Yeah, fam.
Oh, jeez.
I see on this list there's something called Eek a Mouse.
Yeah.
Is that a good one?
I don't know about that one.
It can be fun. It's a fun
Which one
song.
Is that? I don't know which one it is.
When you hear
Wadudem.
Oh, Wadudem? Oh, okay. All right.
When
you
hear it, you will remember it instantly. It's a fun song.
No, I know the song. Yeah. I don't go through the list, so I honestly don't know. I just know, I know who Eek a Mouse is.
The name of
the person. I know who Eek a Mouse is. I just didn't know which song it was
that
was on the list.
That is not for you, Douglas. Oh, okay. That is for the people listening, like Andrew.
Who Eek a Mouse is.
You don't get to talk.
Jump off
you don't get to talk. You stay over there.
I love how he doesn't get to talk, but for some reason, people keep still asking my opinion.
Yeah, because it's you wanted to participate. He doesn't.
That's true. I'm going to start just a pot. Like, I'll find the 50 best, like, bluegrass songs, and I'm just going to have you guys on to go over them.
All right, let's do this.
I like bluegrass.
I'm sure we can find a bluegrass dancehall crossover song that we can,
an
you know,
EDM.
Combine worlds with
dubstep. Somewhere in the middle. Where's Skrillex? What's he doing?
There you go. Exactly.
God.
By the way, I went to a Major Lazer concert.
Which one? The recent one? The last one?
Yeah,
and year?
Skrillex was there.
Yeah.
And I went there because I was trying to appease some girl. And she fell asleep before Major Lazer or Skrillex came on.
Well done.
Which was so great. So what I learned
like a great
is that Major Lazer sucks. And Skrillex also sucks.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
I
fun.
Remember liking a couple of his songs. I think probably one of them that he did with Vibes and then... I don't know.
It's a group
I just
of
remember.
40,000 people.
I know. It's crazy.
Million people
and they have
the
a gajillion songs and they're mostly bad.
They're real bad.
Yeah. But I remember there are a couple that are passable.
When she woke up, she said, "Why didn't I wake her when they came on?" And I said to her, "There's a speaker 2 feet from you. And you're sitting down. And the speaker didn't wake you. I'd never shot."
Yeah. You're what done. Were you going to do?
You realize this was shitty. And you went to sleep. Right. So thanks for that.
Yeah,
it's bad.
Oh, boy. But Damien, this song.
Wayne
this
Wando.
Song is not... So first of all, fuck Wayne Wando.
Yeah.
And by the way,
he
so
has
if
no
you
letting
have...
go, no holding back.
I know.
Is...
Yeah. Which, actually, to be fair, I like that song when it came
you
out.
You like the
but, beat. Yeah, yeah, because
like.
The Wally rhythm is awesome. Yeah. But when I think of Wayne Wonder, if you're doing a top anything...
I think of a really terrible magician.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's good. But if you're doing a top 10, a top anything list mm-hmm. with Wayne Wonder, oh, this is also a bad song, but how is Joyride not here? And I don't even know if it's on the list later on. It probably is. It has to be, right? But
is that Wayne Wonder and Baby Sham? Cam?
Baby Sham? Was Baby Sham in that song?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, I guess so. But that song...
I'm sorry, there's another ad, so I can't play the thing yet.
No, don't play the song. It's probably on the list. So we don't want to jump the gun.
We don't want to jump the pineapple. No, we don't. No.
You said pineapple.
Yep, this is it.
Oh, those vocals.
Can I just ask, like, what is the appeal?
For this song specifically, it's the guy that's
coming up, yeah.
Coming after him,
yeah.
And
I like the Sham. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like, so what is what is the environment uh-huh. in which you listen to dance hall? Like, is it
it's
in
called
a dance
hall? Self-explanatory.
The environment I
like,
listen to dance hall.
Garage
in,
rock. I don't listen
15.
To exclusively in garages.
No,
you know what I'm,
listen,
you know what
we
I'm
don't
about?
Do subtlety here.
Yeah,
okay.
We're not smart
dance
enough
hall for yeah. a reason.
Because that's where
that
it
is
was
where
played.
It is supposed to be
so you all just
enjoy.
Like really awkwardly, slowly dance to a song where a man is espousing the saddest day in his life is when she broke his heart and he felt the pain, the pain, the
you
pain.
You are misunderstanding what a dance hall is.
Obviously,
yeah, you are.
Is it a bordello?
No.
Can turn into one at times.
You've never seen that happen. don't spread misinformation. I want him coming here with false expectations.
I mean, it depends when. Well,
all right. Listen, if you ever come out here, you should probably stay in Ochi. But that's probably not the right. It won't give you the correct sense of what dancehall is, but it's probably for the best.
What,
is that
gonna,
tourist?
You're gonna take him to like chug it or
no. That's why I said you're supposed to stay in Ochi. Do not come to Kingston. You will get a proper experience of what Jamaican life is here in Kingston, but it's not an experience that you'll want. Well, but yeah, Wayne Wonder isn't the benchmark for what dancehall is.
He's only about a half a notch above Sasha, which, by the way, is the last one.
Nate
Dogg,
right?
For.
You remember what you know, Nate Dogg, right? Chorus man himself,
yes.
Right? That's basically where Wayne Wonder shines.
Except Nate Dogg can actually kind of sing.
Yeah, but we don't need singing talent in
yeah.
dancehall.
Yeah, we don't.
It's not a requirement. But that's where Wayne Wonder. That's his little nook. He sings hooks, and that is it.
Pretty much.
And he did more than that this time, and it's not a good song.
Yeah. Is it weird that, so the only reason I really know this song, I don't think I've ever listened to the full song.
Why would you?
Yeah, exactly. Is because this song, a snippet of it, is in the video for No Letting Go right before it starts. Mm-hmm. So when I heard the song, I was like, oh, it's the intro song. Mm-hmm. This song is pretty horrible, and it's essentially that snippet, which is two mm-hmm. bars long,
yeah. That's
just played
song.
Over
it's
and over, song. Over again. It's just the pain, the pain,
the pain,
the pain. The song is bad.
when you get the chance, you should look up Tony Matarone's Not Your Wife.
Oh,
that's my friend.
That song's
quality dance.
Oh. That
I don't know. I got
song.
A short life ahead of me.
It is, that is militarized dance.
No. Well, it's militarized dance. It's dancehall that has been militarized.
Right.
But if you want militarized dancehall, you have to talk about Capleton.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh.
Or Sizzla.
Oh,
even though Sizzla has torn himself down of late, but oh. There
Capleton
hasn't been as much fire.
Fire
burning as when Capleton is on the stage.
One of his albums was called Still Blazing.
Yes, it was. And funny story, one of my birthday presents
yes.
from a person that is in this room
no.
was an album by the name of Fire Burning by Juan Capleton.
And I have apologized for that present numerous times.
You didn't know.
Derek Bryan, why did you give that to me? What should I know?
Can't do that fast.
It was either that or 1989 by Taylor Swift, and I just thought
yeah.
she'd like that better.
Yeah, that was a better choice.
There's a Tay-Tay joke in Fast and the Furious appreciate a lot.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Boy, The Rock is...
The Rock can do no wrong.
He's great.
Gonna knock your teeth so far down your throat you're gonna have to toothbrush up your ass to brush.
You could sit up, both of them are like, we can't keep reading these lines. It's too stupid.
There's a point in that movie where I started to believe they were making them up as they were going along.
In the unrated director's cut, that scene goes on for 40 minutes and gets very profane.
I would watch that movie.
You can only hope.
You have Jimmy Carr behind one of them just whispering things in.
I just want to see Tyrese and The Rock and Jason Statham outtakes so that I can just laugh the entire time. Because they're far and away the only reason. But Vin Diesel keeps mumbling. Like,
Family.
Someone should tell him that we can't hear him.
I am Groot.
Dominic.
There's a line that was supposed to be awesome where it's like, you should kiss my baby because he's the only reason this plane is still in the air. But he keeps mumbling.
If I were you, I'd kiss my baby.
They have to double down. Like,
but the...
They just have to have him grumble and then subtitle it.
His delivery is such that I was like, legitimately, for a minute after he said that, like, oh shit, who's her child? Right. Like, which I thought it was a twist, right. And like that there was a character we'd met that was her child, and I was like, oh no,
oh, no.
He was asking this psychopath to kiss his baby,
right?
As thanks,
yeah.
Yes. Like, I wouldn't tell a fucking murderer to kiss my baby.
When they get to Fast in Space, I just want him to grumble. I just want him to go, and then
it's gonna be
subtitled. And everyone else.
What will the title of that movie be? Like Fast, like
Fast 10, your seatbelts,
Space Race, the Space Race,
right?
Fast 10, yes. 9, 8, 7, 6, right. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Do you think that the Fast crew drives past Groot?
That'd be great. Next
Gardens.
Guardians.
All like, this is my family, and then the tree creature will be like, I am Groot. I don't know how he speaks more clearly as a tree monster than as a human being with friends. Like,
they get to use auto-tune and computers. Like,
we were keeping a count of how many times family was said. The second.
How high did it get?
Went to 23.
I feel like he only says two words, really. He says family and Brian. That's about it.
We assumed it was going to be easily over 25. And when in under as 23, we're like, I think this movie sucks.
This one, they have a lot of... They talk a lot about family because it's like, you're going to betray your family. Like, your allegiance to your family is your downfall.
Right. There was 9 of them in the trailer alone. We're like, this is easily in the 30s. Like, this movie.
And The Rock is like, you guys are a family.
Yeah. That movie's dope.
I like the hard-boiled scene.
Right.
Yeah, that was a great scene.
Thank you, Jason Statham.
I have, like, numerous questions about that film that I can't ask right now because, you know, I would spoil it.
Yeah, why aren't Americans going to watch that movie? It made $90 million. How is that possible?
They were all watching Silence.
No, because the rest of the world went to see Fast and Furious.
Yeah, it's
kind of
already
like $400 million.
So much so that it's beat Star Wars.
Yeah, and so I don't understand how Americans like... The 8th one is where we stop.
They don't like that a lady is the bad person.
Oh.
So, not in my America.
In the theater, when he kissed Charlize Theron, I went, yeah, of course. I take Charlize Theron over Michelle Rodriguez any day.
And yeah, I didn't want to be that guy, but as I was said, like, that trade it up.
There was people who were like, yeah, like actually clapping in the air. Yeah, that makes sense. Like, yeah, she's a lunatic, but let's be serious.
And on that note,
white girl dreads, though.
That is upsetting. No. Watching her in that hairstyle is very upsetting.
And on that note,
it's a Fast and Furious movie. No one can just have normal hair. It's all got to be extreme.
Yeah, it's got to be furious.
Or none at all.
Furiosa.
Fast and Furiosa.
Yes.
No, that's 9, right? Fast and Furiosa is fast because she's alive.
Yeah, that's right. True. She could come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She gets to be a part of the team.
Do you think her sister avenges her or something like that?
They're going to give Vin Diesel the mask.
Yeah.
So that now when he mumbles... makes sense.
It's like
yeah, her sister, who's gonna be played by like Demi Lovato, is gonna come in and be like,
but on that note, I think we're gonna finally end this podcast.
And we've been trying to end this podcast for a while
because the Furious movie will not be this one.
Right. And so with that, I'm high, that is welcome.
Over there is Brian. I am Vin Diesel.
Mm-hmm. And the fans have gone home. Like, I haven't heard from the fans in a while. It's like, I can't listen to dancehall anymore. I'm leaving early. I have
they
basketball to watch.
Is coming. They just left.
So, Brian, would you like to let the 3 people listening know where they can find you to hear you speak otherwise?
Yeah, again, I am Brian Rowan. And, you can find my Twitter at Brian J. Rowan, and I do a podcast that's sadly free of sound effects. That's the Film Stage Show.
How do they not allow you to use air horn all the way?
Yeah, you've made a terrible decision.
Well, it's funny. There's a guy. The reason I have this air horn like bookmarked is because we got a guy whose name is Dan Mecca. But his like Twitter handle is
DJ
his first.
Mecca.
It's his first and middle initial, and that's DJ Mecca. So every time I introduce him, I say it's DJ Mecca. And I don't know that he likes it, but I do it anyway because I am my own man.
Exactly. Never let things like other people not liking you stop you from being
right.
An asshole.
Andrew
Come
doesn't
on.
Like me being called hi or Douglas being called welcome.
I got it. He said me and Douglas. Right. I can edit those into all of the high welcomes.
All of a sudden it's like, it's Andrew and it's
me.
And it's
Douglas.
Oh my God.
I even got Douglas in, Douglas.
I feel like I said everything that I'd meant to say. Yeah. But now I just can't remember. But I'm just going to assume that I plugged all the things that needed to be plugged.
Find him on the internet.
Just go to the internet.
Find me.
And ask the internet, where is Brian?
Where's Brian?
Okay, let's take this for a test drive.
Where's Brian? Where's Brian?
Hi, Siri. Oh, man, my Australian Siri doesn't know where I am.
Hello, Google.
Siri, where am I?
Put it to the mic.
Okay, Google.
Oh my God, it was actually going to say my address. Into the microphone.
Where's Brian?
Here are some results, starting with one from Facebook.
Oh, that's all.
What if Siri knows that you're named Brian? Somebody to call me. Yes, I guess I've been lucky.